97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
All right, welcome in on Debate Morning, as we've been talking about all morning. We're going to get to a little bit more on that because the breaking news this morning is, on the day of the debate, Kamala Harris has finally added some policy positions to her website. Ooh. On the day of the debate.
I just looked at them.
It's taken them this long to establish a policy because they didn't want to give Trump too much time to prepare for it, because now she can say tonight, it's on my website. Just go look at what my policy would be, because somebody else wrote it and I have no idea.
They're like, Kamala, you gave us about 12 hours before the debate, because that's how long it took you to actually post your policies. That's pathetic.
Is there anything surprising on there? You said you looked at it.
No, there's the main titles, like she wants to cut taxes for the middle class families, make rent more affordable and home ownership more attainable. You've not done that. Grow small businesses and invest in entrepreneurs. Take on the bad actors and bring down costs.
I got some bad news for you. If you are dumb enough to believe that your taxes, you're a middle class person and that your taxes are going down under Kamala Harris, her stated position is she wants to allow the Trump tax cuts to expire. That's what cut your taxes. If those tax cuts expire, your taxes go back up. And if you haven't paid any attention, that's what she said she'll do. She'll let those tax cuts expire.
Do you want to know what's funny really fast?
Mm-hmm.
So under the Safeguard Our Fundamental Freedoms, she has restore and protect reproductive freedoms, protect civil rights and freedoms. And then there's one little section below that that's in red, a different color than all the other ones. And it says Trump's Project 2025 agenda. How many times has Donald Trump said that he had nothing to do with Project 2025? I actually support Project 2025, by the way. I wish Trump wouldn't try to separate himself from it. But you have to go off what the man has said, which is that he had nothing to do with that. And he actually thinks it goes too far.
I agree with that. In fact, I've got some great sound on that. I'm going to get to that for you here in just a moment. Well, we'll get to it right now, because the guy that directed, Dan is his last name, who directed Project 2025 until just recently, was on CNN arguing with them over whether or not Trump had anything to do with it.
Listen. Well, I think that's why, you know, I was reading through it again in recent days when people say Trump has nothing to do with it. I mean, you worked as the deputy chief of staff at the Office of Personnel Management, a pretty significant office. Six of his former cabinet secretaries helped collaborate or write on it. I mean, you look at it and it's full of names that people would recognize. Chris Miller, Peter Navarro, Johnny McEntee. And so some people see, okay, well, 140 of his staffers worked on it. How can you say that he has nothing to do with it?
Well, he personally didn't have anything to do with it. Certainly a lot of folks, worked on it, came out of the Trump administration. But that's natural for any Republican administration. You're going to have the carryover for the next one. And in this case, it's conservative. But look, those ideas were open to Joe Biden and to implement if he wants to. And they actually are. It's
very,
a funny thing.
It is.
Yeah. Caitlin Collins can't believe it, but all these people that know Donald Trump worked on it. It must be his plan. It's like, no, they did work in his administration, but guess what? They're Republicans.
Well, and it'd be different if he had been kind of quiet on it. But anytime I've heard him asked about it, he has been very clear saying
that it's not his.
He thinks they go too far. As disheartening as that is for me as a conservative, that's what the man has said time and again. You have to believe it.
Read it for yourself. Don't take the word of these left wingers. It's a fantastic a lot of the policies are fantastic and should be implemented for sure. All right, we're going to get to Jeff Manasso coming up in just a few minutes on the platform issues. And we're going to talk more about the U.S. steel deal with Lydia Hu at the bottom of the hour. But first, Ethan, let's get to today's shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
She's taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She actually said she supported that.
She both wrote and answered in the affirmative when she was asked this.
Oh. Wow, CNN shockingly reporting on what how radical Kamala Harris's positions have been on all of these issues leading up to right now when she's trying to run for president.
In the original people who are still there, no such heart disease.
Wow.
No such high blood pressure. Well, what happened? 400 years of slavery happened.
The original people don't have any problems. But look at us. We're the descendants of slaves and we have high blood pressure. That's what Kamala Harris, the point she was making in that soundbite.
Don't you think you should be an American citizen to vote for people that are going to represent you?
Don't you? Senator Tommy Tuberville talking about this SAFE Act, which they're going to put into the continuing resolution and force Chuck Schumer and the Democrats to vote and answer that question.
Well, in a late development today, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft said he is decertifying that ballot measure after that judge's ruling that that amendment was defective. That may not have much of an impact if tomorrow the Supreme Court rules that the judge's ruling on Friday was invalid and interpreted the law improperly.
Yeah, that was Channel 4's report on the whole debate over Amendment 3. Tied up in court, technically decertified. A judge basically tossed it out on Friday and said the language was deceptive and didn't answer the constitutionally required questions needed for it to be voted on to be put in place in the Constitution. So about 16 minutes from right now, the Missouri Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on this case. It's important because, as Kim pointed out yesterday in talking to the head of Missouri Right to Life, today's the deadline to get the ballots finalized so they can be entered into all the systems and ready to go, because the first ballots can be voted absentee on the 24th of this month. They got to get it done today.
I really am hopeful. I actually feel like the Supreme Court will say this cannot be on the ballot. I mean, at this point, when Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft has already decertified it, is it a moot point? Could that essentially be their ruling?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
They have to vote on the legal issue. The problem is they're way too aware of politics, and they're way too aware of what their fellow jurists may think about their decision in this case. They will lick their finger, put it up in the wind, and see which way it's blowing, and that's how they'll rule. They've disappointed me at just about every turn. That is the Missouri Supreme Court. They're the ones that will make this decision. And I say that because I could probably list a litany of issues from over the years, the most recent one being the opportunity to disbar Kim Gardner. If anybody ever deserved it, she did. And they gave her a slap on the wrist for a list of ethics and probably legal violations longer than my leg. And they did nothing to her. So I can't see them reversing and throwing out this initiative petition that's been so controversial on a legal technicality. I can't see them doing that. They might.
I hope
they surprise me. I pray that they surprise me.
I'm not trying to downplay the Kim Gardner situation. I know that was very serious, but I also think this is bigger. This abortion initiative petition was not done properly. And the other part of this that is scary, that the people have brought, the pro-lifers have brought up, rightfully so, is that it was intentionally written very vague. Reproductive freedom, reproductive health care, language like that that opens the door to potentially gender-affirming surgeries for minors. What happens when this is voted and enshrined in the state constitution, and then that's what starts happening?
It's a good point. It's a good point. And who knows? I mean, maybe they will decide that since it can be brought back up and put on the ballot again with different wording, that maybe they need to throw this one out. We should have an answer today. Just so you know, stay tuned to Annie's show and Mark Reardon's show, and hopefully we'll find out something before the end of the day. We'll have full coverage for you on 97.1 FM Talk. Quick break. We're going to get to more with Jeff Manasso, who's been poring over the Harris website, where for the first time ever, there are actually policy proposals. We'll be back.
Because, you know, all of us can be traced back to the original tribe, you know, based on body size and shape and all that. And so went back, and in the original people who are still there, no such heart disease.
Wow.
No such high blood pressure. Well, what happened? 400 years of slavery happened.
Yeah, interesting comments there by Kamala Harris. I mean, I don't know that that's something that comes up tonight. She was talking about high blood pressure and all of this stuff and blaming it, I guess, a prevalence of it on slavery and the effects of slavery over the years. I don't know. People are going to be watching this debate so closely tonight to see if she goes down a path like that or she kind of sticks to the issues. I'm guessing that the consultants have been working hard with her on that. And now we're kind of getting a first look at some of her policies. And Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio has been looking at that website this morning. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. They also didn't have chemicals in their food, so there's that.
That thought crossed my mind. They didn't eat any processed food either.
And that's going to be a huge issue, this debate, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now entering the race, and that's his pledge, that's his platform, to make us healthier again by the things we're eating and getting these chemicals that are banned in other countries out of our foods. But nonetheless, the policy page and pledge of Kamala Harris, the vice president and presidential nominee, is now out 50 days since President Biden exited the race. In much like the DNC, a lot of what critics are this morning are calling it platitudes without substance. We're seeing terms like building up the middle class, creating an opportunity economy where everyone has a chance, bringing together organized labor and workers, and things like that, creating good paying jobs. We've heard that for 3.5 years. And so how are you going to do it? Again, like the DNC, I was there. I felt the joy. I felt the electricity. But then when you leave the venue, the United Center, and you walk in the streets of Chicago, you're punched in the face with reality that the economy is struggling and people are hurting. So how are you going to do it? And this is not a Republican or Democrat thing. This is an American thing. Even Democrats who may hate Donald Trump, they want to know exactly how their bank accounts are going to be full again, how their savings are going to be put back up to where they were, and how they can afford food for their kids. And so, but this website, it touts middle-class tax cuts, expanding child tax credits, $6,000, 28% tax rate on long-term capital gains, making rent more affordable, home ownership more attainable, $25,000 down payment for first-time home buyers. Student loan forgiveness, more of that. Taking on price gougers, which is the Democrats' excuse for the reason why everything costs so much. They want to bring prices down, so they're going after price gougers. Lowering the cost of education and health care, and securing our border. But again, how are you going to do? How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
It's a policy, but go ahead.
It is vague. You're right. I was looking at the one on green on tackling the climate crisis. And this is the last line. She and Governor Waltz will always fight for the freedom to breathe clean air, drink clean water, and live free from the pollution that fuels the climate crisis. I mean, it couldn't be that you couldn't come up with a more general statement. What does that mean? Is that the Green New Deal or not?
Look, if that's what you're into, it sounds really good.
Yeah.
But again, how you're going to do that without spending more money, which is the reason, one of the reasons why we're in the situation we're in this economy. But this was a policy pledge that really, like the DNC, focused largely on former President Donald Trump. Every section of Harris's proposals comes alongside with a summary of Trump's Project 2025 agenda, which was written by the Heritage Foundation. He's disavowed and says he had nothing to do with. Democrats say by Harris releasing this campaign agenda before the debate will taper criticisms, not only from Trump, but perhaps by the moderators tonight. So we'll see what we'll see what happens. But I think a lot of people are going to be watching and listening.
Yes, they will, to see how Trump attacks some of these policies now that she's got them. Jeff Manasso, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Good to get him on here.
It might squash some criticism, but you can still say it took you until today, 50-plus days or whatever it's been, since you became the nominee, essentially, the presumptive nominee.
And still very few specifics. I mean, the $25,000 down payment that she had already kind of floated out there, but there's nothing else telling us how she's going to build intergenerational wealth without confiscating it from some people and giving it to others. That's the question. Hey, what's going on in this U.S. steel deal? How does it affect Granite City Steel? We'll be back in just a minute.
Rocking the free world. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
The strong steel and aluminum industry are vital to our national security. Absolutely vital.
Yeah, that was Donald Trump back when he was still president of the United States, when he used tariffs to protect the United States steel industry. And Granite City Steel over here, which is a U.S. steel-owned plant, reopened when Donald Trump was president. Now there's a question about whether or not U.S. steel should be sold to a Japanese company. And we've got Lydia Hugh from Fox Business with us this morning, who's reporting on this. Lydia, welcome back. How are you?
Hi. Hey, I'm doing well. Good morning.
Yeah, so is this may be something, at least in policy, that Trump and Harris agree on? Is that right?
Yeah. How interesting is that? You know, of all the issues and how far apart our candidates are, former President Donald Trump and Kamala Harris agree that U.S. Steel should remain American-owned and operated. And that's also something that our current president, Joe Biden, has echoed as well. And we even have reports coming out just last week that he is preparing to act to block the acquisition of U.S. Steel by Japanese-based Nippon Steel. And I'm telling you, I'm in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh area now, the past couple of days, talking to the actual workers of U.S. Steel to get their reaction. And opinions are very much mixed on the topic, Mark. There are workers that say, look, we want to continue to work for U.S. Steel as an American company, so we agree that the deal should be blocked. But there are quite a few workers that actually support this deal, this acquisition by Nippon Steel. It is really fascinating.
Yeah, and I could be wrong, Lydia, but the reason that Trump and Harris both support this are fueled by different reasons, right? Trump believes having an American company own American steel is important because if we ever went to war again, we're going to need certain plants that produce the kind of steel you would use in a warship, for example. It seems to me the Harris side is siding more with labor, correct?
Yeah, the Harris side and the Democrats are very much signaling that they want to support the union.
Yeah.
When I say the union, we're talking about the United Steelworkers and really the top brass there. I mean, they have a close relationship. And you even have the likes of, you know, Senator John Fetterman, who's saying, look, we as the Democrats, we want to do whatever the union wants us to do. And we'll support that. So the union leader, President Mr. David McCall, I've spoken to him before. You know, he from the very beginning when this deal was announced said he would do everything that he could to kill this deal. That's becoming pretty tricky for the elected leaders now because you got U.S. Steel CEO David Burritt, who's kind of pushing back on that. He said, look, if you kill this deal, if you kill this investment from Nippon, the future of U.S. Steel becomes somewhat in jeopardy. You know, this could mean long-term the closure of plants, the loss of jobs. He's saying they need the investment. They need the capital from Nippon. So it's a balancing act at this point, you know, supporting the union and what they want because they've telegraphed for so long they want this deal done. But they want it killed, you know, finished. But if they do that, if Biden blocks it, that could mean the loss of jobs, according to U.S. Steel CEO.
It seems like there could be a loss of jobs regardless of what happens. I mean, the steelworkers you've talked to about this who are in favor of the deal going through, the acquisition deal, is that their main concern is that if the deal is blocked, that they'll lose their job?
Yeah, I mean, the issue here, particularly in the Mon Valley region of Pennsylvania, is kind of the antiquated assets. Like, the mills are old, and they need to be updated to be competitive. And what they like about the Nippon deal is that Nippon is offering an injection of billions of dollars to upgrade their facilities in a way that U.S. Steel just can't do. So when they hear that, they think better working conditions, more efficient production, better jobs for the long term. And they think that that means more job security to remain competitive on a global stage. That's why they're very interested and want to see this deal happen.
Yeah, Lydia, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for the information.
Oh, you got it. Anytime.
Yeah, we'll be watching on Fox Business today to see that story. I thought it was interesting because I covered this when Trump was president and listened to the celebrations over at Granite City when their plant reopened because suddenly they had business, enough business to support it. And now it's closed again. And if labor in this country would just wake up and realize which party it is that actually does things that help them, they would overwhelmingly vote Donald Trump back into office.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats, with the exception of this decision, and their decision for supporting it is different than Trump's decision for supporting the blocking of this sale. He's worried about what's in the best interest of America. They're worried about what's going to get them the most votes. Do you see the difference? Donald Trump put tariffs on foreign steel to save the American steel industry, period, because it's vital to our national security. And all the Democrats care about is power, and they're opposed to this only because they've heard from a few of their union bosses that they don't like it. So that's why they're opposing it.
But let's just say this deal were to somehow go through. Who's to say that Nippon wouldn't decide to clean house and they put technology or whatever the case may be in place that would basically, it would not be necessary for all these people to have jobs. And so that was my point when I was asking her that question was, to me, there could be job loss regardless of what happens. I mean, couldn't they clean house and bring in some of their own people? They own the company.
Or
there's just so many things that could happen regardless of the way this shakes out.
Or they could shut down the competition.
Also true.
We own it. We're going to shut it down.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how that works for them from an investment point of view. I don't know what they're paying for it. But anyway, I thought it was an interesting conversation given what's going to happen tonight. It'll be interesting to see if the issue comes up. I don't know if it's going to be one of the top 10 or 12 issues for these moderators in a 90-minute debate. You may not hear about this tonight, but I thought you should be informed on it. We'll get to that and more. Lots to go still. A couple stories we haven't gotten to yet. We're going to be back in just a minute. So we should be roughly 20 minutes into oral arguments in front of the Missouri Supreme Court. And the interesting thing is you can listen to those arguments live as they're going on the Missouri Supreme Court website, unless so many tens of thousands of people want to listen to them and the system gets plugged up. Because right now I'm getting the spinning wheel of death. And I wanted to kind of jump in there and let you listen to a little bit of the live arguments this morning. And it's not working. They're going to decide on whether or not Amendment 3 gets kicked off the ballot today. I imagine that decision won't be all right, here are the oral arguments. Let's wait 20 minutes and vote. I mean, they're going to have to go into probably a closed session and debate this and then come out with the decision. But before the end of the day today, we're expecting something because it's the deadline to get ballots finalized. It has to happen today. A good friend of mine on Facebook, Bev Aylin, who is a longtime pro-lifer and activist, posted a picture of a bunch of push cards and door hanger information sheets that she had ordered. And she said, I'm hoping these are all going to be obsolete. Some of them just arrived at her house yesterday. And I ordered some bumper stickers. In fact, I gave one to Kim to put on my car. You're blurry again for some reason there, Kim. I don't know why.
I don't know why that
but
happens.
It says no, vote no on Amendment 3, vote pro-life. And now I don't know if we're going to need those. I'd love to not ever have to put that sticker on my car. But we might end up having to.
I'm getting the spinning wheel of death.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think a lot of people are probably trying to tune in there and can't for some reason today because there are too many people want to listen. And something tells me the state of Missouri has not invested nearly enough in its technology. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm curious how long this decision will take. I think.
Rocking the free world. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
The strong steel and aluminum industry are vital to our national security. Absolutely vital.
Yeah, that was Donald Trump back when he was still president of the United States, when he used tariffs to protect the United States steel industry. And Granite City Steel over here, which is a U.S. steel-owned plant, reopened when Donald Trump was president. Now there's a question about whether or not U.S. Steel should be sold to a Japanese company. And we've got Lydia Hugh from Fox Business with us this morning, who's reporting on this. Lydia, welcome back. How are you?
Hi. Hey, I'm doing well. Good morning.
Yeah, so is this may be something, at least in policy, that Trump and Harris agree on? Is that right?
Yeah. How interesting is that? You know, of all the issues and how far apart our candidates are, former President Donald Trump and Kamala Harris agree that U.S. Steel should remain American-owned and operated. And that's also something that our current president, Joe Biden, has echoed as well. And we even have reports coming out just last week that he is preparing to act to block the acquisition of U.S. Steel by Japanese-based Nippon Steel. And I'm telling you, I'm in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh area now, the past couple of days, talking to the actual workers of U.S. Steel to get their reaction. And opinions are very much mixed on the topic, Mark. There are workers that say, look, we want to continue to work for U.S. Steel as an American company, so we agree that the deal should be blocked. But there are quite a few workers that actually support this deal, this acquisition by Nippon Steel. It is really fascinating.
Yeah, and I could be wrong, Lydia, but the reason that Trump and Harris both support this are fueled by different reasons, right? Trump believes having an American company own American steel is important because if we ever went to war again, we're going to need certain plants that produce the kind of steel you would use in a warship, for example. It seems to me the Harris side is siding more with labor, correct?
Yeah. The Harris side and the Democrats are very much signaling that they want to support the union.
Yeah.
When I say the union, we're talking about the United Steelworkers and really the top brass there. I mean, they have a close relationship, and you even have the likes of, you know, Senator John Fetterman, who's saying, look, we as the Democrats, we want to do whatever the union wants us to do, and we'll support that. So the union leader, President Mr. David McCall, I've spoken to him before. You know, he, from the very beginning when this deal was announced, said he would do everything that he could to kill this deal. That's becoming pretty tricky for the elected leaders now because you got U.S. Steel CEO David Burritt, who's kind of pushing back on that. He's saying, look, if you kill this deal, if you kill this investment from Nippon, the future of U.S. Steel becomes somewhat in jeopardy. You know, this could mean long-term the closure of plants, the loss of jobs. He's saying they need the investment. They need the capital from Nippon. So it's a balancing act at this point, you know, supporting the union and what they want because they've telegraphed for so long they want this deal done, but they want it killed, you know, finished. But
if they do that, if Biden blocks it, that could mean the loss of jobs, according to U.S. Steel CEO.
It seems like there could be a loss of jobs regardless of what happens. I mean, the steelworkers you've talked to about this who are in favor of the deal going through, the acquisition deal, is that their main concern is that if the deal is blocked, that they'll lose their job?
Yeah, I mean, the issue here, particularly in the Mon Valley region of Pennsylvania, is kind of the antiquated assets. Like, the mills are old and they need to be updated to be competitive. And what they like about the Nippon deal is that Nippon is offering an injection of billions of dollars to upgrade their facilities in a way that U.S. Steel just can't do. So when they hear that, they think better working conditions, more efficient production, better jobs for the long term. And they think that that means more job security to remain competitive on a global stage. That's why they're very interested and want to see this deal happen.
Yeah, Lydia, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for the information.
Oh, you got it. Anytime.
Yeah, we'll be watching on Fox Business today to see that story. I thought it was interesting because I covered this when Trump was president and listened to the celebrations over at Granite City when their plant reopened because suddenly they had business, enough business to support it. And now it's closed again. And if labor in this country would just wake up and realize which party it is that actually does things that help them, they would overwhelmingly vote Donald Trump back into office.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats, with the exception of this decision, and their decision for supporting it is different than Trump's decision for supporting the blocking of this sale. He's worried about what's in the best interest of America. They're worried about what's going to get them the most votes. Do you see the difference? Donald Trump put tariffs on foreign steel to save the American steel industry, period, because it's vital to our national security. And all the Democrats care about is power, and they're opposed to this only because they've heard from a few of their union bosses that they don't like it. So that's why they're opposing it.
But let's just say this deal were to somehow go through. Who's to say that Nippon wouldn't decide to clean house and they put technology or whatever the case may be in place that would basically, it would not be necessary for all these people to have jobs. And so that was my point when I was asking her that question was, to me, there could be job loss regardless of what happens. I mean, couldn't they clean house and bring in some of their own people? They own the company.
Or
there's just so many things that could happen regardless of the way this shakes out.
Or they could shut down the competition.
Also true.
We own it. We're going to shut it down.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how that works for them from an investment point of view. I don't know what they're paying for it. But anyway, I thought it was an interesting conversation given what's going to happen tonight. It'll be interesting to see if the issue comes up. I don't know if it's going to be one of the top 10 or 12 issues for these moderators in a 90-minute debate. You may not hear about this tonight, but I thought you should be informed on it. We'll get to that and more. Lots to go still. A couple stories we haven't gotten to yet. We're going to be back in just a minute. So we should be roughly 20 minutes into oral arguments in front of the Missouri Supreme Court. And the interesting thing is you can listen to those arguments live as they're going on the Missouri Supreme Court website, unless so many tens of thousands of people want to listen to them and the system gets plugged up. Because right now I'm getting the spinning wheel of death. And I wanted to kind of jump in there and let you listen to a little bit of the live arguments this morning, and it's not working. They're going to decide on whether or not Amendment 3 gets kicked off the ballot today. I imagine that decision won't be all right, here are the oral arguments, let's wait 20 minutes and vote. I mean, they're going to have to go into probably a closed session and debate this and then come out with the decision. But before the end of the day today, we're expecting something because it's the deadline to get ballots finalized. It has to happen today. A good friend of mine on Facebook, Bev Aylin, who is a longtime pro-lifer and activist, posted a picture of a bunch of push cards and door hanger information sheets that she had ordered. And she said, I'm hoping these are all going to be obsolete. Some of them just arrived at her house yesterday. And I ordered some bumper stickers. In fact, I gave one to Kim to put on my car. You're blurry again for some reason there, Kim. I don't know why.
I don't know why that
but
happens.
It says no, vote no on Amendment 3, vote pro-life. And now I don't know if we're going to need those. I'd love to not ever have to put that sticker on my car. But we might end up having to.
I'm getting the spinning wheel of death, too.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think a lot of people are probably trying to tune in there and can't for some reason today because there are too many people want to listen. And something tells me the state of Missouri has not invested nearly enough in its technology. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm curious how long this decision will take. I think by 2 p.m. we'll have a decision. That's my prediction.
Yeah, it's going to have to be before the end of business. I mean, they've already going to have delayed the preparation of ballots by a day. And we've got Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft scheduled on the show for tomorrow so we can get the skinny on this because they're trying to hold him in contempt. And, they're trying to hold him in contempt. And he's supposed to come on with me tomorrow. I was double checking my text messages if I got a confirmation on that. But we're going to try to get him on tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about this issue on whatever the decision is today. But I'm sure Annie and Mark will have the latest for you as the day goes on. So keep it tuned right here to 97.1 because we're going to be carrying the debate later this evening. We will Fox News Radio simulcasting the ABC debate, and we will carry it here with coverage, I think, starting at 7, and the debate starts at 8. So they'll do some pregame coverage here. We're going to be at the debate party, and we'll have a full report for you tomorrow morning when we're live down in Eureka.
Eating delicious food.
Yes, we are going to be full tomorrow. That's
sorry,
a good
thing.
Ethan's stuck here.
Which violates the Constitution.
It just popped up. Hold on.
Amendment 3 also violated the constitutional single subject rule.
It's glitching.
Come on.
It's glitching. I was waiting for it. It finally popped up, and then it started glitching almost immediately. That's part of one of the attorneys down there arguing for this. Let's see.
She's the pro-life side, I believe.
Oh, is she?
I think I recognize
her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, part of it started working, and then it went away. Hey, Kim found this story yesterday on Channel 5 that I thought, as a hunter, was hilarious, Kim. And it's the fact that for the first time ever this year, the Missouri Department of Conservation is going to allow people to use drones when hunting.
Only to retrieve the animal, because I know that's really difficult, right? You get a deer and then it's getting dark and you're going around trying to find the deer. Well, Mark, you have to actually hit the deer because then, you haven't done that in a while, right? You walked right into that.
I know I did, but in my defense, I don't know how, I mean, yes, you do shoot some animals right at dusk, but if you're a good shot, they drop where you hit them.
I don't know.
How big of an issue it is tracking your wounded game into the night. And even if you did, unless you had a heat-sensitive drone, it wouldn't do you any good anyway.
I've had it multiple times where my husband has had to go track down the deer. His brother, so my brother-in-law, shot a deer multiple times, and it kept running. And it took forever to try to find that deer. I think this is interesting because you can't use the drone to track the animal and then shoot the animal. You can only use it to retrieve it once you've killed it.
Whatever. I mean, give me permission to put a drone up.
That's exactly it.
I need to have it in the air so that once I shoot the animal, I can then use it to track the animal, right? Can't you argue that? I mean,
I don't know.
Are they going to know you weren't tracking the 10-point buck as it was walking towards you, and then you shoot it, and then you claim you were just using the drone to track the deer?
Well, and they say you have to have, of course, permission from a property owner.
Yeah.
So maybe your neighbor's sunbathing in the nude, and it's fall, so maybe you're not sunbathing in the nude.
In the woods? Deep in the woods?
People are weird, Mark. People are weird.
I don't know anybody that weird.
I do.
Well, that's a story for another day. All right. Stay tuned. Maybe we'll talk about that in Kim on a Whim tomorrow. I don't know. Have a great day. Good luck watching the debate tonight. We'll talk it all over tomorrow morning live from Eureka.
Get more at 971talk.com.
So we should be roughly 20 minutes into oral arguments in front of the Missouri Supreme Court. And the interesting thing is you can listen to those arguments live as they're going on the Missouri Supreme Court website, unless so many tens of thousands of people want to listen to them and the system gets plugged up. Because right now I'm getting the spinning wheel of death, and I wanted to kind of jump in there and let you listen to a little bit of the live arguments this morning, and it's not working. They're going to decide on whether or not Amendment 3 gets kicked off the ballot today. I imagine that decision won't be all right, here are the oral arguments, let's wait 20 minutes and vote. I mean, they're going to have to go into probably a closed session and debate this and then come out with a decision. But before the end of the day today, we're expecting something because it's the deadline to get ballots finalized. It has to happen today. A good friend of mine on Facebook, Bev Aylin, who is a longtime pro-lifer and activist, posted a picture of a bunch of push cards and door hanger information sheets that she had ordered. And she said, I'm hoping these are all going to be obsolete. Some of them just arrived at her house yesterday. And I ordered some bumper stickers. In fact, I gave one to Kim to put on my car. You're blurry again for some reason there, Kim. I don't know why.
I don't know why that
but
happens.
It says no, vote no on Amendment 3, vote pro-life. And now I don't know if we're going to need those. I'd love to not ever have to put that sticker on my car. But we might end up having to.
I'm getting the spinning wheel of death. Too.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think a lot of people are probably trying to tune in there and can't for some reason today because there are too many people want to listen. And something tells me the state of Missouri has not invested nearly enough in its technology. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm curious how long this decision will take. I think by 2 p.m. we'll have a decision. That's my prediction.
Yeah, it's going to have to be before the end of business. I mean, they've already going to have delayed the preparation of ballots by a day. And we've got Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft scheduled on the show for tomorrow so we can get the skinny on this because they're trying to hold him in contempt. And they're trying to hold him in contempt. And he's supposed to come on with me tomorrow. I was double checking my text messages if I got a confirmation on that. But we're going to try to get him on tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about this issue on whatever the decision is today. But I'm sure Annie and Mark will have the latest for you as the day goes on. So keep it tuned right here to 97.1 because we're going to be carrying the debate later this evening. We will Fox News Radio simulcasting the ABC debate, and we will carry it here with coverage, I think, starting at 7, and the debate starts at 8. So they'll do some pregame coverage here. We're going to be at the debate party, and we'll have a full report for you tomorrow morning when we're live down in Eureka.
Eating delicious food.
Yes, we are going to be full tomorrow. That's
sorry,
a good
thing.
Sorry, Ethan. Ethan's stuck here.
Which violates the Constitution.
Popped up. Hold on.
Amendment 3 also violated the constitutional single subject rule.
It's glitching.
Come on.
It's glitching. I was waiting for it. It finally popped up, and then it started glitching almost immediately. That's part of one of the attorneys down there arguing for this. Let's see.
She's the pro-life side, I believe.
Oh, is she?
I think I recognize her.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, part of it started working, and then it went away. Hey, Kim found this story yesterday on Channel 5 that I thought, as a hunter, was hilarious, Kim. And it's the fact that for the first time ever this year, the Missouri Department of Conservation is going to allow people to use drones when hunting.
Only to retrieve the animal, because I know that's really difficult, right? You get a deer and then it's getting dark and you're going around trying to find the deer. Well, Mark, you have to actually hit the deer because then you haven't done that in a while, right? You walked right into that.
But in my defense, I don't know how. I mean, yes, you do shoot some animals right at dusk, but if you're a good shot, they drop where you hit them.
I don't know.
How big of an issue it is tracking your wounded game into the night. And even if you did, unless you had a heat-sensitive drone, It wouldn't do you any good anyway.
I've had it multiple times where my husband has had to go track down the deer. His brother, so my brother-in-law, shot a deer multiple times, and it kept running. And it took forever to try to find that deer. I think this is interesting because you can't use the drone to track the animal and then shoot the animal. You can only use it to retrieve it once you've killed it.
Whatever. I mean, give me permission to put a drone up.
That's exactly it.
I need to have it in the air so that once I shoot the animal, I can then use it to track the animal, right? Can't you argue that? I mean,
I don't know.
Are they going to know you weren't tracking the 10-point buck as it was walking towards you, and then you shoot it, and then you claim you were just using the drone to track the deer?
Well, and they say you have to have, of course, permission from a property owner.
Yeah.
So maybe your neighbor's sunbathing in the nude, and it's fall, so maybe you're not sunbathing in the nude.
In the woods? Deep in the woods?
People are weird, Mark. People are weird.
I don't know anybody that weird.
I do.
Well, that's a story for another day. All right. Stay tuned. Maybe we'll talk about that in Kim on a Whim tomorrow. I don't know. Have a great day. Good luck watching the debate tonight. We'll talk it all over tomorrow morning live from Eureka.
Get more at 971talk.com.